Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
This is ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Zadok Jewelers.
KFNC 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Dow Media station.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5. Glad you could join us this morning. I am back in the saddle after having a procedure yesterday. Did you guys talk about it? Because I don't want anybody to guess what procedure I had.
Did you get your tubes tied?
I did not get tubes tied. Did not.
Everything... I did say that you may have had a hawk peck out one of your eyes.
Yeah, I had Doc Whitson.
But he didn't peck out your eyes.
He didn't peck out my eyes. He pecked out the crap in my eyes.
Did you get that sweet drip that they put in you?
I did.
That's awesome.
Oh, and then how about this?
But you're awake, though. John
Before
had one
you go
of the,
in.
He had one of the lenses changed out of his eyes.
Yeah. Well, no, I had a cataract.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
They take a lens out, they put a lens in.
So,
you got new eyes.
I got new eyes. I can see everything is so bright in here.
Super bright. You don't realize how yellow, like your eyes start to get yellow. You don't realize until you have one of them done, you're like, holy crap, this is LED.
Yeah.
And this is
yellow. Yeah, I got my left eye done 2 years ago. He said, you'll be back in 2 years. So, because it's got to harden before you can do it again, before you can do it.
Oh, you do it more than once?
I got the left eye and the right eye.
Well, you do them twice?
No, I got the left eye.
Yeah, oh, that's why you waited to. Oh, yeah.
And I got this one done yesterday. Anyway, so before you go in, they go, would you like a Valium?
Yeah, I said yes.
And I went, yeah.
I said yes.
And then
you
as soon
the
as
drip.
I get done, well, I got the drip too. I got everything.
The Valium
I was
the drip
out. Is... I do remember, like my eye, I was out, but I do remember like something going on with my eye.
You can feel pulling and
yeah
that's kind of creepy
and the color and weird. It looked like it was psychedelic.
Yes, I remember. And then it was cold, and then there was music or something in the background. I kind of remember. I remember them talking, but I was awake but out of it.
Yeah,
because they keep your eye open.
But then as soon as I'm done, I looked at my we have charged you $140. I was like, you son, for the Valium, and here's you have to pay this $140 one Valium. You know what that is? That street market is?
You can go get that off
you know,
the street.
I know.
You should have just asked somebody down off of Westheimer.
That's so dumb.
Actually, I don't know who's pushing
the
Valium on
the government is the worst drug dealer ever, or hospitals are.
It's probably more hospitals. Government wants them to lower their prices.
Yeah, but they're not.
And the medical industry said,
they're not.
I mean, it's super expensive to make. Nobody jacks up rates higher than the medical field and the Pentagon.
Yeah.
How much is this to
right,
where
right.
you do the well, you the flush people, the toilet? Oh, that's several thousand. Yeah. What? Now, Billy Brown doesn't charge me that. Billy, you should call the Pentagon and give them better prices. It would save taxpayers money.
They're worried about saving taxpayers money.
No.
Yeah, not at all.
Everyone's just worried
about it. Everything is so bright in here. I can see Dell through there now.
Yeah.
It's so much fun. But
you have to put a bunch of drops in your eyes all the time.
Yeah, I got to do that.
So were you able to see the Astros yesterday?
I could see them with one
out?
Eye. I had a patch on all day.
Damn it. Dell and I were talking about I was thinking about, I said, you know, it sucks because I've got a walking boot. I've got a shoulder harness. I've got a knee scooter. One thing I don't have is an eye patch.
I got an eye patch for you if you want it.
If you could bring it, I'd like it.
I mean, you could come in one day.
I'd like to have it. I'd like to have just everything on standby.
Yeah.
I said, you know, I would have worn an eye patch today in honor of John. If I have one, I just don't have one.
You didn't wear your ninja skull cap?
I stopped wearing that.
You did?
After day one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You could have worn that with the eye patch, with the sling.
When I was fresh off the culture, it felt like it felt right to do, and now it feels like I could get in trouble doing it.
Probably. Well, in honor of Hao Tong Lee, who shot an 80 when he was with Scotty.
How about in honor of Tetsuya Imai?
Imai. Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
Should I wear it in honor of him being on the injured list?
We do have to honor him because he died.
Yeah. Mound was too hard. It was too cold out there. What is this? This isn't like in Japan. It's too...
Wait a minute. When I heard, I was like, hold on a second. I had a buddy who played in Japan, okay? Chad played in Japan. He said it is unbelievable. They run you like it's an 8-hour workout. It ain't like the U.S.
No.
You hit some balls, you take some ground balls, and then you go shower and you're done for the day.
No, it's a job.
It's a full-time job. He goes, after we ran, and then we hit, and then we ran again, and then we're feeling, and then doing, and then we're doing all this mind stuff. Okay, we're running again. And he was like, what are we doing? This is baseball. We don't do this. This is not how we do this. They throw 1,000 pitches a day in Japan. It's April, and he's already got arm fatigue? Are you kidding me? He's Japanese.
Did you also get
they
all
don't
this-
have that there.
Did you get all of his complaints, too?
No.
You didn't read that? That's what Dell and I were talking about. He started complaining, the mound here is too hard. This isn't how the mounds are supposed to feel. Then he just said, it's just very cold here. I was not used to this temperature. He's like, this is so much dirt everywhere. And he's like, all the grass. I think I'm allergic. Now, the last two were made up. The first two were not made up.
Okay.
He was complaining about the mound. He was complaining about the temperature, how cold he felt. He's just doing all this complaining. Well, and we're three starts in. And two of them were terrible.
He hates the U.S. already.
This season.
The mound is too hard?
Yeah.
Oh.
Isn't that what it was, Dell? Yeah, it was too hard. He was complaining about everything. And then he goes, and they go, is this why you're out? No, my arm also is sore and tired. They're like, so the mound, it's cold, your arm, like all of that. Yeah, I got to go back on a jet to Houston.
I got to go back to Japan.
I got to go back. Well, he said, he went back to Houston. I don't know if he went back to Japan.
He probably did.
They said he's back to Houston.
He's homesick?
Oh.
Wasn't the ground hard in Florida during spring training? The ground wasn't hard?
Apparently not.
I mean, he was throwing Bugs Bunny pitches.
Do you remember when everything was good in spring? Like, he looked great. Oh, yeah. Burroughs looked great. Well, Burroughs was great in spring.
Yeah, he was.
Burroughs is terrible in
– Well, Burroughs –
Well, we're
now,
still spring,
in
actually.
In fairness to Burroughs yesterday, they had some bloop crap. He had the ground ball at first that they didn't get the out. Wow, that was so stupid. He had three flares. He had one down the third. Donovan hadn't had a hit in 2 years, and he hits one a little flared. Another pop up that runner scored. I mean, they did hit him. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
I mean the pitches that he threw to Josh Naylor. What are you doing?
Awful.
Right up at his chest, both of them. This isn't an Astro hitter that you can get him out on a high strike. These are Seattle hitters.
They had 7 of 8 games. They had 7 of their last 8 games. They had scored 3 runs or less, Seattle, coming into this series.
Yeah.
In 6 of their last 9, they had scored 2 runs or less. Against the Astros, no problem. 29 runs in 4 games. No problem. Starters can't. I mean, and yesterday, Burroughs had no choice. You're going. You're going 6. Yeah. We really don't care what happens. We can't do this anymore with our bullpen. You're going 6. And so he did, and then J6 came in and pitched 2 innings. But this is just really – you're now on – what are we at, an 8-game losing streak now? So now you've been swept in consecutive series. You've got 60% of your starting staff is on the injured list. Jeremy Pena hit the injured list. Jake Myers is, but he gets hurt just standing in the outfield. So what are we going
to
mean?
Well, but the good news is we got Nick Allen to fill in. Mm-hmm. Good Lord, it is bad.
This is
the worst.
And to make it worse, you know what's crazy? They
scored the most runs in the league. That?
Well, they had.
Yeah, no, they still are, and they're 6-11. They got the worst record.
Are you sure? It's something. Are they still the most runs?
Yes, most runs, and the worst record. Somebody said, "I don't believe this has ever happened before." If you scored the most runs in the league, and you have the worst record in the league, it's almost impossible to do. And yeah. Yet,
well, I saw the runs created thing.
And yet, here we are. Unbelievable. It's the exact opposite of what it looked like coming out of spring. They couldn't hit the ball at all, and now they can't. Now they can't pitch at all.
You can't get people out.
Can't get anyone out.
I mean, you can't. You cannot expect 9 innings of solid pitching. You cannot expect.
No.
Somebody is going to, and it's not just they give up a run. We're talking about implosions.
It's a word.
We're talking about innings that are become implosions. It's not just giving up a run. Like, yeah, Okert gave up a run, and then, Abreu came in and gave up a run. No. This is literal 4-run innings, 6-run innings, 3-run innings. It's, and then multiple 3-run innings, complete and total implosions.
Houston Astros, 95 runs, leads the league. Dodgers they're tied with the Dodgers, and they're 6-11, worst record in baseball. 95 runs scored, worst team in baseball.
17 games. Dodgers have 16 games. But
so what? They've scored the most runs in the league.
But runs per game, they're down a little bit now.
Right.
Runs against 107, and there's no one. No, Washington Nationals are at 104, and they played 16 games. The Astros have played 17. So, actually, they're actually technically,
Astros
I guess, slightly behind.
Over an 800 OPS as a team. Unbelievable. How good is that? And they're freaking 6-11. That is so unbelievable.
Losers of 8 in a row.
8 in a row. Yep.
Losers of 8 in a row.
Team 6.50 ERA. 6.50 team ERA. Wow. A 1.71 whip for the team.
A what?
A 1.71.
1.71?
1.71.
I mean, look at the pitching. Look at the pitching numbers here. Mike Burrows, 6.55 ERA, 1.82 WHIP. Ryan Weiss, 7.36 ERA, 2.09 WHIP. The best on the staff is Lance McCullers with a 5.87 and a 1.30. That's probably the best. Well, Hunter Brown, but we're not going to count him for right now. Christian Javier, we know, terrible. Blue ball, 9.64 with a 1.71. Imai, oh my God, 7.27 with a 2.08 WHIP. I mean, Tang, 2.16.84. That's our guy. That's the Tang is the guy. This is the only guy we can count on.
That's all.
And he's got Tang is the only guy we can count on, and he's made how many appearances? He's made 6 appearances.
Worst in the league in ERA, hits, earned runs, walks. On base, WHIP, the worst in the league in all of those. All of them.
God bless.
And they're fourth in the league in strikeouts.
Brian Abreu, 16th.
Fourth in the league with 157 strikeouts, pitching-wise.
But Hunter Brown's not walking through that door anytime soon. He was a big part of some of those.
I told you, 2 months.
16.20 ERA with a 3.60 WHIP for Brian Abreu.
Oh, that's down from 23.
No, he's
he gives up a run. He gives up one run every outing, and he's lowering his ERA.
Jaden Murray came in the other day, was walking people in. This is just terrible.
He got the first two outs the other day, and I'm like, okay, look at this.
Any chance that Joe gets? We're early. We're 17 games in.
This ain't on Joe.
It doesn't matter if it's on Joe. He ain't going to survive it.
Joe just go, hey, I'm in charge of the hitting.
Okay, so what is So what is Jim Crane going to say? Like, yeah, you're right. I can't just stay here. You're fine. Everything's fine.
Well,
no, both of those guys are gone. If something doesn't happen big, Dana Brown is gone and Joe Espada is gone.
I don't know what anyone else can do. Now, Miller, I mean, they made the batting change and look what happened. Maybe they need to make a pitching change, a coaching change.
Yeah, because, I mean, you have so many injuries. And they can't seem to find the reason for that. They can't pinpoint the reason. Just the Astros pitchers always get hurt and have tired arms. You better figure that out. This cannot just be a one-off where only the Astros or the only team affected this early. There must be some type of cause and effect that you can start to pinpoint. Not that every pitcher is the same reason, but this is an astonishing level of arm injuries for one organization.
Mm-hmm.
An astonishing level. It didn't. We were healthy, no problems until you just had Lance McCullers. And then once the COVID year hit, you had Justin Verlander out for 2 years. And that's when it really started to pick up. And then you had, you just had a series of arm injuries. And I don't know if it's the idea of throwing as hard as you can on every pitch, which a lot of people say is leading to deterioration of arms. I don't know if it's the spin rate stuff. I don't know what it is, but I know this. What difference does it – how many pitchers – if it gets around the league that the Astros, there's a graveyard there for pitchers, I wonder how many – not that the Astros pick up good free agent pitchers anyway. I mean, they get whatever the bargain basement price they can find on guys. So it's not like, the best pitchers are considering the Astros. But I do like – what are you going to do? Is this just going to be a thing forever? Is this just – you just have to fade multiple arm injuries all the time? Arm soreness? None of those guys pitched in the World Baseball Classic. We're crying about World Baseball Classic. That you could get – you could get hurt. People could – you can get tired.
Well.
But Hunter Brown can't even make it to the third game.
Right.
Christian Javier can't make it out of the – into the second inning of the third game. Emi can't even.
Japanese robot can't even make it.
Can't do anything. He's in the third game and he goes in a third of an inning. These guys all go on the injured list. Josh Hader's still gone. We're 17 games in. He hasn't played a game since last year.
Don't need him, though, really.
Well, you really don't.
You really don't.
I mean, you really don't. And
you got Brian Abreu. Why would you need that? 716 ESPN 97.
Wait, you heard anything? When is Hader coming back? We're 17 games in now. When is Hader back again?
No one. That's a dumb question. Okay. When is Hader coming back?
You know what they could use? A publicly funded new stadium. They should try to vote they for should. That and see how it goes.
They should. All right, 713-780-3776. We've got a lot of Rockets to talk on the other side right here on ESPN. A lot of people are talking about this series and what it means for the Rockets. We'll get to them on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5.
Who is our team going to be for the WNBA?
The Comets?
No. They're coming from...
The Sun? Connecticut Sun?
There it is. So let's see what their draft was. Oh, we got a B. We got Nell Angloma from France. Our international scouting department.
We got a shooter too.
Kniepkins, not Con Knipple.
Not Con Knipple.
Gianna Kniepkins.
Yeah.
5'11", tiny. Charlize Leger Walker, 5'10". We just got a bunch of littles. Taylor Bigby, 6'1". Is that tall for the league? 6'1"?
6'1". You're probably tallest person ever.
We drafted a 5'11", a 5'11", a 5'10", and a 6'1". What are we doing here, Maury Ball? It's a bunch of 6'5" power forwards.
Dell, what do you think of his analysis of a WNBA, the Comets WNBA draft?
I don't know the players, but I know their
listening
sizes.
Listening to him talk about he's got a problem with the height of the players, doesn't even know the average height of a guard or a forward in that league.
and he's looking at their arm length and their hips.
How are they going to get in the passing lane with these short little arms?
Yeah.
This is terrible.
All right, So there's a lot of sound about the Rockets and the Lakers. What did you guys decide yesterday about the matchup?
Well, what we decided is that this city will literally, like, it's almost impossible with no precincts reporting. we can confidently project the Rockets as the winner mm-hmm. of that series.
That happens a lot.
If you so they're a 4.5-point favorite to start the for game one in LA. If you don't, the Lakers can take one. That's fine. If you go to a final game in the series, it's going to cause a lot of stress. If you were to lose that series, this city will implode because, you know, you have – it's two things. Because that would be insane to lose this to a 41-year-old, who the best player is a 41-year-old on the opposing team, and you lose the series with Kevin Durant. I think it would cost Ime his job. I really do. I don't know that Ime would survive that. I think Rafael Stone would. I don't think Ime Udoka would survive losing to the Lakers. Now, what will happen is if you handle your business, you sweep them. All right, Rockets have some momentum. Then you get beat by Oklahoma City. You're supposed to get beat by Oklahoma City, but the conversation is going to change once you do get beat by Oklahoma City, if you do, and it will be, you know what? We got Kevin Durant to literally get us over the hump for this, and we could have done this with Jalen and Dylan. We didn't. What did Kevin? It's really going to turn into what exactly did Kevin Durant do for the Rockets this year? If you lose in the second round to Oklahoma City, which you know would have a strong likelihood that you would lose to them.
Well, you know, not if they. What if they don't? What if they sit people? Because there's that. You know what? It's the NBA. You don't know
if they Oklahoma might, City sits Oklahoma, people.
They might sit some people in the second round.
Well, we may need. Not that I want this to happen.
Not injuries.
I'm not going to tell you.
They might just load manage. You don't know.
I mean, but late in the season, people get hurt too.
Yeah. Well. If somebody got hurt and his name is Luka, but let's send the Shams. We think we're out of the woods with Luka. Slow down for a minute.
DG, all eyes, of course, will be on the health of Luka Doncic and Austin Reeves. I'm told that Luka Doncic is traveling back to the United States from Spain later this week and rejoining the Lakers on Friday. But over the last week in Spain, the majority of that time, he's been getting treatment on that hamstring. He's had multiple injections as well to see, can he promote healing? Can he quicken the timeline of his return? It is a grade 2 hamstring strain. And on the other side, Austin Reeves, grade 2 oblique strain. Initially in early April, his timeline was 4 to 6 weeks. That would put him out at minimum the first week of May. And so both of these guys going into the playoffs, there's an expectation that they will be sidelined for an indefinite period of time. Just how soon? They're both obviously trying to get back ASAP. Well,
big deal. Big deal. He's coming to cheer on his team.
Big deal anyway. The 1st of May, they're still going to be in that series.
No, they're not. The series starts this the 18th.
Yeah.
Of April.
And they play once every 6 days or so now.
Yeah, it's over.
Yeah.
The series is over.
Well,
that's 13 days.
I know. Guess what?
The series is over.
Be right around. Then what if they come back for game 7? How would you feel about that then?
This series is over. The game's over.
Wow.
Game's
Wait,
over.
Are you real?
I'm going to set the expectation that this is an automatic win. Because I'm telling you, I want to make sure that the entire city holds that team accountable. And I mean everybody. Top to bottom. This is unacceptable to make the move that you made and to have the team that you have and the talent you have and the potential you have. And if you lose to the Lakers with no Austin Reeves and no Luka, it should be completely unacceptable.
Well,
to a 41-year-old LeBron James, and LeBron's still a good player, he can't carry that team to beat you. And if he does, then, frankly, heads probably need a roll over there. And I'm not saying the GM, I think he's done a good job. I mean, he's missed with Finney Smith. He hasn't been perfect. I would have liked to have seen him move it. But nothing to me, and I know people are going to say clear it all out and all that stuff. But this is, if you look at the job that he and Dana Brown have done, it's night and day. One guy has built on, if your entire model is let the guys walk when they're free agents, but draft and rebuild your program. Who have the Astros drafted and developed that is the next big time players?
Takes a couple 3 years before you see the fruits of your
sometimes
labor. Yeah,
sometimes
it's very
it depends.
Rare guys come up right away. Very rare.
Well, who's the hot name in the pipeline?
Well, Bryce.
There are none. Oh, Bryce Matthews.
Bryce Matthews.
Don't say the B word.
Yeah,
he's Bryce not. Matthews. There's not.
They got Kevin Alvarez.
That's not the B word. That's not the B word.
Kevin Alvarez, who is supposed to be really, really good, and he's in.
You just made that name up.
No, I didn't. We got a Kevin Alvarez that's really, really good, and he's supposed to come up. They've got some guys.
Michael Cevich is supposed to be pretty good, left-hander.
You're just making names up.
That one I did, yeah. Yes. I was testing you.
Yeah, see, I knew you were just making names up now. Big Perk says this series is going to define KD.
Believe it or not, I actually had an oblique strain.
Okay.
I know y'all probably
was fit.
Believe it or not. All right, that's the first thing. Second thing is this, right? At this point, the Lakers are playing with house money. Nothing to lose, everything to gain. Mm. This is all about the Rockets. This is all about Kevin Durant. This is a legacy moment for KD. Like, we got to think about this for a second. Disaster in Brooklyn, a disaster in Phoenix. All of a sudden, the Rockets make a trade. They trade Jalen Green and Dylan Brooks, who had the number two seed last year. And all of a sudden, you get this matchup, which is favorable for the Rockets, although they don't have home court advantage. KD, you better not let a 41-year-old LeBron James-led team beat you in this series. Damn it, Max better get two games.
Yeah, yeah.
Real talk. This is more about Kevin Durant and why he was brought to Houston. The only person that they're missing is Steven Adams. Other than that, you have Sengun, who is one of the best bigs in the game. Armin Thompson is available.
Van Vliet, too.
Van Vliet was out.
Van Vliet is out, but still in all, when you look on paper,
yeah,
and the way that the Rockets been playing over the last, two or three weeks, damn it, I ain't trying to hear nothing.
Absolutely.
KD,
right.
All eyes are on you.
Yeah, I mean, all those teams, I think.
I mean, say what
I
you want.
You know what? Big Perk says a lot of stuff. That's accurate.
Yeah, say what you want. I'm sure Dream Shake, with Kevin Durant's number one best friend, was going to come in with it and say, it's not fair to put him. That's not fair. No, it's 100% fair. You are the superstars are the face of the franchise, and it's true. He was brought in specifically to get you over Oklahoma City. If you can't get over LeBron and nobody, then I don't want to hear it. This is, Perk says a lot of dumb stuff.
Yeah.
What he's saying right here, it is true. Like, it ended very poorly for him with, especially in an elimination game. Once he got out of Golden State, since he's been out of Golden State, with Brooklyn, look at this. I mean, my gosh, just the amount of losses. They got swept against Boston, the series before that when they played Milwaukee. They were beaten in a game series. He lost both those series. Now he did win with Phoenix. He did beat the Clippers in five games. Then he lost in six games to the Denver Nuggets. Then the next year he was swept by Minnesota. Like he's lost a lot of series. Three of the last four series he's lost in the playoffs. If you lose this to the Lakers, now I do not think they're going to lose. I do not think they're going to lose. I think at the Rockets, because Dell and I talked about this too. You're going to be throwing Tari and Jabari and Amen, maybe Amen, but Tari and Jabari for sure. You're going to be throwing them at LeBron. He's got some energy that's going to be coming his way. And he's going to have to really work offensively. They just need to play fast. You know, the Lakers are going to want to slow it down. Let's eliminate as many possessions as possible through the shot clock, because that gives them the best chance, the fewer the possessions. And then we have to be highly efficient shooting threes. Dell looked at the three-point percentage. They were highly efficient shooting threes in this last little three-game win streak.
Yeah.
You just have to take that away from them. Take away the three, make them shoot two, run to the three-point line and force everything inside the three-point line, and then play with pace and make them play fast. Make LeBron play faster than he wants to. Wear them out. You should not. This would really be on Ime Udoka. You really cannot let them find a way to outcoach you. JJ Redick, that guy's, I think he likes podcasting as much as coaching. You cannot let him beat you. You cannot let him outcoach you. And he did last time they were here.
No.
What?
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order.
What'd I say?
He likes podcasting more than coaching.
It's disrespectful.
Yeah.
Is it untrue?
I think it's 52-48, but yes, it's coaching more.
It's close. All he does is rag on his team. That's all he ever does. Well, now, like, everyone wants to play us because we're terrible, and I get it. We're not primarily not going to win. What do we do? Look at these guys out here. They're awful. We're terrible. We're terrible people, and we're terrible players.
Yeah.
This is what he was saying at the end of the year.
You should have seen. I saw James Worthy and Robert Horry are on the Lakers post game they were like, oh, it's a perfect matchup. Perfect match. We got the Rockets. I think we're winning 5 or 6. I think, you know, that's all they got to do. We've shown that we can beat the Rockets. They just beat the Rockets twice back here.
But with both of those players.
Yeah, with both those players.
So they're saying this with these players out?
With these guys out.
I mean, are they wrong? Is this the team you'd – I wouldn't want to play Denver.
No.
I wouldn't want to play Minnesota.
No.
Too young and too active. No, I mean, it's probably –
Everybody wanted to play the Lakers and then the Rockets.
And Dell, tell them what you were saying about the Nuggets yesterday, how the Nuggets handled the last game. The Nuggets damn near tried to get into the matchup with the Rockets.
I know.
Yeah, they played Jokic enough so for him to qualify for the awards, but they didn't play Murray. They didn't play Gordon. Now, the only thing that thwarted them is the fact that the Spurs didn't play Wimby. So they were still good enough to win, but they were not. They would rather play the Rockets, it felt like, than the Wolves, who they have to play.
Yeah, but then they would have had Oklahoma City second round.
I guess they don't mind it. They just didn't. They weren't going all out to avoid the Wolves. They were more than happy if they played the Rockets.
Yeah. Well, I think some of that is NBA rest and load management. I think they would much rather be.
Why are you load
in
managing?
The Spurs side than the than
yeah
the,
than maybe the but the Spurs countered. The Spurs decided
yeah that's
they
true.
they would rather have the Nuggets what in the not in their bracket, so they sat Wimby, but they were like, the Nuggets had a chance to control their fate, and they're like, you know what, we'll see how it goes, and if we play the Rockets, cool.
Yeah, they didn't seem to like want to avoid the Rockets.
No.
That's crazy. You should want to avoid the Rockets.
Yeah. Mm. Okay.
We should be at that point where you want to.
Whoa.
And they ended the season well, but that just goes to show you, no one's looking at the end of that season going, oh boy, here they come. We are in some serious trouble.
Well,
but I mean, it's not like I don't have some hope. I do have hope. I have, not only is my expectation to win, to go 4-1 in that series against the Lakers, my expectation is that they are extremely competitive against Oklahoma City. It truly is. I don't expect them to get blown out by Oklahoma City. This is a team with Amen Thompson and Alpi, Jabari, Tari, Kevin Durant. I mean, let's cut the crap. There's talent on this team, enough talent to win at a high level. But Durant is 2-8 in his last 10 playoff games. Now, it's not all on him, but to Kendrick Perkins' point, does this tarnish his legacy? I mean, you know, he's already got his championship at Golden State already looks like you had to go gang up with a made team already. No. You got on a made team that had championships.
He's got titles. That's all that matters. He's the fifth greatest scorer in league history.
Well, the legacy thing is a little tricky to me.
The teams that he was on, Brooklyn was just as poorly put together team as you possibly could have. The Suns were a mess. I don't know.
But does he have anything to do with any of those? He didn't get along with the
no.
I mean, there was stuff in the locker room about him.
But he's
there.
Been perfect this year, other than, you know, burner accounts. It's been great. He's been a great teammate.
Legitimately, if Kevin Durant loses to the Lakers, and once again, and don't put this on video, we're just doing some, quit trying to make us look like we hate the Lakers all the time, guys. I mean, hate the Rockets.
Oh, this is going on video.
No, I'm going to tell her. We're not doing this.
We need a Rocket segment, so if you don't want this on video,
we're
don't
not
talk
doing
about
this.
It.
We're not doing this, because this always starts. Then we'll go do a positive. A polyprop positive, because I don't think they're losing. I don't think they're losing. But we're playing off the Perk thing. I'm just saying, if Kevin Durant were to lose to lose the last playoff series in Brooklyn the way it ended in Phoenix, and then if he comes here in 1 year and then also has the drama off the court, you know, we know before the All-Star game. I mean, I don't know. It's worth a discussion about how is he viewed in the future. Great scorer, one of the all-time shooters, without question. What is his final, like, what does it look like? He won a championship with a team that already won a championship. And then you look at Brooklyn, Phoenix, and Houston. If it doesn't end well in Houston, I wonder how people are going to view him. Obviously, as one of the all-time greats, as he should be. But, like, what is the final tally on Kevin Durant?
We'll talk about it on the other side. 713-780-3776 is the number. You guys got thoughts on that? You're more than welcome to get in here. About that. Right now, I'm talking about your final thoughts about how much your house is worth. I mean, I every year I got my my property taxes. I was like, oh my god, this is awful. Look at this, and my wife's gonna be like, ah, you gotta fight this. Ah, and so I did, and I won some and I lost some. And when you lose them, it's worse because the next year it's going to compound, right? If you don't do this right, then it's going to only be worse for you going forward because that's where your house starts. And they always go up. They always go up. Well, Own Well can save you money. Own Well can save you because they know how to fight the government better than you do. Own Well delivered an average net savings of 21 to 51% higher than their competitors in Harris County. How about that? 21 to 51% higher than their competitors. Montgomery County, 94% success rate and on houses 250 to 500. They doubled your money in Brazoria County on houses 500 to 750,000. This is a time and time and time again. And when you look at how much Own Well charges, the percentage that they charge versus what the percentage of these other companies charge, you're going to go with Own Well as well. There is, listen, a half a million Texans have gone with Own Well. You should too. Don't wait. The deadline to protest is May 15th for most counties. Save money on your property taxes with Own Well. Sign up in less than 3 minutes at ownwell.com. That's ownwell.com. And let them know I sent you when you complete your sign up at ownwell.com.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Kevin Sumlin's going to be joining us in just a couple of minutes. He had to play to his brother the other day, and that didn't go well. Did not go well.
They called him Maryland Tua.
Yeah. He had him at, well, Coach was at Maryland.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Was he there when he was there?
Yeah, I think so.
He also had to coach against a team who didn't have a head coach.
The DC?
Was
he the head coach there?
Yeah.
Ted Ginn's the head coach there?
Yeah.
He got the DUI, right?
Yeah, and he just wasn't available for the game. Didn't matter in the end, but he wasn't the coach. He just happened to not show up because he was arrested the day before the game. He's Columbus. Sorry, they didn't play Columbus today.
Yeah. No.
Well, that was other.
Oh, but he is head coach.
That was other UFL news.
Oh, in other UFL news,
Ted Ginn just couldn't be the head coach for his team because he got arrested for DUI.
Ted Ginn was really fast.
Yes, he was.
Apparently, really fast. He was driving too fast too,
or at least impaired
or something. Yeah.
We got a lot of that lately. Follow up on that. You said on the other side, where does Kevin Durant stand if he's got to win the series? You don't get any bonus points for winning the series. It's expected. You need to do it.
Oh no, this will hurt his legacy if he loses. This will hurt everybody in the organization. This will hurt everyone, Ime included. Bill Simmons thinks Ime won't be back anyway. I think if they beat the Lakers, Ime will be back. But I think it's a question if they don't beat the Lakers.
I do too, because you got to make sure that everyone's still buying in on his message. Because if it's not, like you lose a big part of what makes him a plus coach to me is that he can get that intensity. Like if your defensive intensity is not causing other teams to be extremely uncomfortable with these long armed athletes that they have, that would be a concern for me. Because it's not going to be his offensive stuff that is going to be special. People have to buy into Ime. He's a culture guy. So if you're not buying into Ime, then the culture piece is kind of gone. So, I don't know. I do think he's in trouble if they were to lose this series.
Yeah.
I think there'd be a lot of people really upset because you should be a big favorite in this series. They're not going to lose to LA. I just don't envision. Like, it would take multiple players having just terrible series. And it would take the Lakers, frankly, hitting threes at a high clip because the Rockets are going to beat them up on the boards. The Rockets are going to get additional possessions. The Rockets are going to limit possessions. I think it's just a matter of you just have to say, okay, what gives us the best chance to win? All right, let's wear down LeBron. What do we do? Well, we push the pace, and then we also are going to send multiple defenders at him going as hard as they can. You know, even if it's Jay Sean Tate for 5 minutes, we want everyone making him work, extend the coverage, you know, get out there in his face 27 feet away. It doesn't matter. Wherever he is, face guard him. It doesn't matter. Make him work exceptionally hard. I don't think it's really that complicated. I just think you make LeBron work ultra hard and you make someone else beat you. And if someone else on that team beats you in a long series, then you have really screwed up somehow. I mean, then somehow you have not done your job as a team and as a coach. So I don't know. I don't envision a way. Now I have as a Houston sports fan, obviously myself and many of you listening of a certain age are going to have experienced some atrocious losses that you never thought would happen. I mean, Sterling Hitchcock beating Randy Johnson's one of them, but this is a much bigger, like, this is U of H getting beat by NC State in basketball. And that happened in 83. This is Fisley and Majama getting beat by NC State. No one gave them a chance. They're way outgunned and outmatched.
Yeah, but
no one gave NC State a chance.
No one gave NC State
a chance. Who's given Lakers a chance?
NC State had better players, relatively speaking.
Well, they've got the Lakers have LeBron James and a home court advantage.
Yeah, but he doesn't have much else with him. That's all.
I would say this. Houston was probably a bigger point spread favorite over NC State than the Rockets are at L.A. I'll bet you that. Rockets are 4.5. I'll bet you the Cougars were. I don't even know what the point spread would have been back then. I don't know. 8.5? 9? Yeah. I don't know how much the Cougars would have been.
I don't either. Well, that was one game versus a series. So, I mean, you know, we'll see. And they got home court advantage. You're right. No, if the Rockets lose this series, it's a big blow to the organization.
Now, if they win it,
to everybody,
they won't get any benefit if they win it. You know, that's expected. If they win it, they win it. That was supposed to happen. But if they lose it, it'll be, you know, you need to win it, and then you need to go bust ass against Oklahoma City. That's really what needs to happen. And you got to be ultra competitive in that series so that you give people hope headed into next year, which I think, you know, I do think the Rockets are set up. I think if the Rockets just pull their heads out and play consistently, I think they can play with Oklahoma City. I've seen it happen over the last 2 years. Now, granted, last year is not the same team
that
as this
would
year.
Be an NC State upset.
Houston over?
Over Oklahoma
but City.
But
they're talented.
Oklahoma City is the best, by far the best team in the
they
league.
They are. But Houston's
so
talented.
So was the NC State.
Yeah, a bunch of guys didn't even play in the NBA. Little cups of coffee, basically.
No,
Kozel McQueen.
Yeah.
No, Derek Whittington. Come on. Those guys didn't even play. I mean, Derek Wittenberg. Not Whittington.
Yeah.
You had Wittenberg, Sidney Lowe.
Yeah.
Go take a look at their NBA
really
careers.
Really good college players.
Clyde Drexler. You had Akeem Olajuwon.
Well,
Larry Bishaw.
Got SGA. They got Jalen Williams.
Right.
They got.
Yeah, but who's? We're not Derek Lowe. Derek Lowe's hurt. His name is Fred VanVleet.
Sidney Lowe.
Yes, Derek Wittenberg, Sidney Lowe.
Sidney Lowe. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
The ours is Reed Shepard and Fred VanVleet. One of them's hurt.
Well, we got Kevin Sumlin too. Don't forget that in the city of Houston. And not tomorrow night, but on Thursday night, they are hosting at the Dynamo Stadium. And they are going to be taking on Louisville. So we got to get on out there. We got to support our UFL team. And the coach is joining us right now. What's up, coach?
What's happening, guys? Derek Lowe, huh? That's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
I know. We're talking about the Rockets. Like, if the Rockets were to lose to L.A., it's like the Fisley Majama losing to NC State. It shouldn't have happened.
Oh, boy. Yeah, it could happen. But
yeah, anything.
Yeah, no, anything could happen. But we don't want that to happen, and we don't want what happened to y'all on Saturday to happen again. Where are Deckers? Where's Henderson? Is there any chance? Are you getting anytime soon, Coach?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we'll see where they are at this point of the week. Credit. I mean, he only practiced about 4 days last week. And so a lot of things happen when you're playing the defending champs. There's no excuses. We didn't play very well, you know. It's been up and down. We took a bunch of steps forward 2 weeks ago after the first game, and then two steps forward, one step back. We've got to bounce back. And you know, you can look at it two ways. It's a short week, so we really had to just flush that and move on and get ready to play again Thursday night against the Louisville team that's hungry for a win as well.
It's almost better to have a short week after that, right?
Yep, it really is, because from a mental standpoint, now physically,
a little bit different because of the injuries that we've sustained and you know, the beating, but you know, the pounding of the game. But you know, it's a Thursday night. We start travel tomorrow and get there to Houston but I think all in all, like you said, the best thing to do is move on from last week. Not a lot of positives from last week for the whole team, and move on to a new opponent and get a chance to get back on the field and redeem yourself.
Yeah, really kind of unfair. Like you said, he didn't even have a week worth of work to get in here. You were with him in Maryland, right?
Yeah. He's one of the all-time leading passers in the Big Ten. You know, he's a guy that kind of bounced around, was in the Arena League, and then it's another step up. So, you know, the tools are there. You know, you just got to get used to a different offense, get used to a different system. It's hard to do for anybody in a week's time, you know, and travel to D.C. to play, which, you know, you lose a day really on the flight. So, it was a tough situation for him, you know, after losing a couple quarterbacks the week before. So, you know, he's going to get better, and then we'll see where these guys are as we practice today, because, you know, it's a short week. Like you said, the best thing mentally is it's a short week. The worst thing physically is it's a short week. So we got to make some decisions this afternoon about the direction we're going.
Louisville Kings at Houston Gamblers. It's 2 days, 11 hours, 6 minutes, and 2 seconds away from kickoff.
Wow.
Yeah. No.
That countdown clock?
That's impressive.
Yeah. On the UFL website, it tells you exactly how much time is left before we kick that off. And get back.
You needed some help with that. I didn't think you could just.
Yeah,
that
no, up. He's
no,
not
no, playing. It was off the top of my head. No, and it'll be good to be back home. No travel. They've got to travel. Yep. Unfortunately, like you said, the young quarterback has a short week. Now he's got another short week to get ready. But I would imagine he's studying his butt off to try to, you know, get everything down. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. not just him, but the coaches too. So, you know, we'll get him ready he'll probably just have to bring his playbook right out to the field.
Right.
So it'll be all right. But, you know, we've got some talented players, and we can play better than we played last week across the board. And I think our guys, they understand that based on their attitude right now in practice. And you got to move on. So, you know, it's no different than the NFL right now with Sunday, Thursday night games. And it's how you handle a short week. And, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of people that we know that have to do those types of things in the NFL, and so we're following that plan, and we can't wait to get back on the field Thursday night.
Is it the install? You haven't had these players as long as NFL teams have had their players. When you have, short turnarounds, like how tough is it to make changes on your install offensively when you haven't had a lot of time with any of these players, relatively speaking?
It is tough. It is tough. But, you know, just talking to some NFL coaches and just to be honest, I'm not going to say who it was, but, you know, if you're a good team the year before, the next year, you have to play Sunday, Thursday, Monday. You know, there's these types of games, and on short weeks, long weeks, night games, Sunday night, you know, which is even a shorter week. So his comment to me was, which I thought was interesting, he said you have to keep the plan concise and utilize things that you've practiced beforehand, because you can't, there's not a whole lot of banging in practice, not a whole lot of hitting. You got to get guys to the game, and they got to know what they're doing. And so, his exact words were, that's why you see a lot of high scoring games on Thursday night, some really high scoring games, or some 9-6 games on Thursday night, because the plans are pretty limited, and the players are not nearly where they were the weekend before. So, you know, it's just got to be, you have to, it's more about execution this week than anything else of whatever that plan is.
Plenty of good seats. I mean, and there's, it's very affordable, people. I'm on the Ticketmaster site, Ticketmaster.com, or you can go to theufl.com and get a great seat. There's not a bad seat in that house anyway. So
no, it's great venue.
Yeah. So you're looking for something to do, get on over to theufl.com or Ticketmaster.com and get your tickets. Great, affordable tickets on sale right now. Coach, we appreciate it, man. Best of luck. I mean, before you go, you kind of sidestepped it a little bit. The prognosis of the other guys getting back, is it long term? Is it short term? What's the deal?
It's short term. Like I said, we got to see where we are today with practice. And, you know, I'm not being coy or anything like that since, you know, you've given out the game plan a couple weeks in a row. Anyhow, but
we give away your game plan. No worries.
No.
Do you want to break it here that they're both coming back this week? Do you want to break it?
No, not, I'm not going to break anything. Okay. So I'm going to practice today. I mean, that's just kind of where we are in a short week. We got to see who can move around, who can throw, and who can do some things today. And I'm just being honest with you. If that's the case, then I guess I'll just have to wait till Thursday. But we're going to keep working with what we have, and then we'll see where we are today at the end of practice.
There it is. Coach Kevin Sumlin every week right here on ESPN 97.5. We appreciate you, Coach. Good luck. In 2 days, 11 hours, 3 minutes, and 7 seconds. There you go.
Impressive.
All right. There's Coach Kevin Sumlin right here on ESPN 97.5. I, my friends, am talking about my friend. I can say Kent Jones is a friend. He's a great guy. Love him. He's a listener. He's, you know, he loves to have the 97.5 listeners call him. If you are even thinking about buying a house, he can break it down exactly what's going to happen for you. You found a house that maybe you like for this much money. How much do you have down? You know, what's your background? What kind of loans are you eligible for? Because he knows every loan. If you're a veteran, if you're not, what first-time buyer. There's all kinds of different hacks that you can get to here that he can save you money. Stuff that you don't know. Stuff I didn't know. I just got the loan. I have no idea how we got our loan. No idea. Zero idea how we got our loan. But we did it, and we got a loan. And that was so dumb because Kent Jones can put you in the perfect loan for you, okay? Because he can ask you the questions, the right questions that you don't even know, okay? Still less than 3 out of 10 people do it the right way by getting a broker. In this business, brokers are better. They're just better. Shop your loan. Kent will show you how to shop your loan, and he will tell you all of the hookups that he's got. He'll show you everything. Survey, title company, the right buyer's agent. He's going to connect you with everybody because he's been doing this forever. 713-520-5626, 713-520-LOAN. Or 975loans.com.
Dream Rate Mortgage, LLC. NMLS number 2482473. J. Ken Jones. NMLS number 356118. Equal housing lender.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.